legend calls it a day. We reflect on the brilliant career of Cooper Cronk. Plus, Newcastle jumped to sixth spot. We catch up with Knights halfback Mitchell Pearce. And the panel lock in their final selections for Origin Game 1 teams.
Hello and welcome to Inside the NRL. We celebrate Indigenous Round this week and we'll get to that very shortly. But today, one of the most decorated NRL players announced it's time to end his career at the end of 2019. Cooper Cronk, of course, the Sydney Roosters halfback and the five-time Dally M halfback of the year. Jamie Soward, was it a surprise for you?
Not really. I think he came to Sydney to win a premiership with the Roosters and a two-year deal, and that's probably the standard that he set himself. So he's going at the right time. Plus, next year, Latrell Mitchell off contract, that would have gotten a little bit ugly. So the ultimate professional, one of the best halfbacks who ever played the game, and sad to see him go because it's sort of the last of that Queensland brigade. Only Cam Smith left, but an amazing player.
Yeah, 16 seasons in the game. He's done so much, and we'll get to that a little later. But for you, Michael, the Sydney Roosters are a very organised side. No doubt that we already got plans for his replacement.
Yeah, look, it obviously gives an opportunity now to plan for 2020 and beyond. I think they all knew that this day would come and he wouldn't be at the club beyond this year. So yeah, they've got a big opinion of Lachlan Lamb, obviously, and there's a lot of discussion about where Latrell Mitchell's future lies, whether he moves into the half, stays in the centres, fullback, obviously, with Tedesco there. That's very, very unlikely. But I think the Roosters knew for a while this was going to happen. I think Cooper realised two-year deal, he owes them that after the grand final. There's not much left there to prove he's done what he came to do and obviously wants to add the icing on the cake now and give him one more.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's take a listen to Cooper Cronk and what he had to say to media a little earlier today.
It's funny, I called my grandmother last night to let her know that this announcement was happening tonight. She goes, I thought you would have said that after you got sin-bitten and played poorly on Friday night. I was like, thanks, Nan, appreciate that. Once I signed the two-year deal here, I knew in my heart that that was probably going to be it. The grand final obviously took a little bit out of me, and that off-season I was pretty comfortable with the decision I made. Without Melbourne Storm, I don't stand here today with the life that I'm very much looking forward to. Those two guys will go down in history as the two best players in their positions for as long as the game of rugby league is around. So that probably makes me the best third wheel the game's ever seen too, because I just jumped on the back of whatever they were doing. My job was pretty easy. A future immortal just passed the ball to me and I passed the ball to another future immortal. So things were pretty cruisy and I really appreciate the things that they did for me on the field. To the most single-handedly, the most influential person in my footy career, that's Craig Bellamy. To Belza, you're a good man, Craig. There's not too many other people on this planet that I respect more than Craig Bellamy. From what he did for me as a young kid, all the way through to my last days, we achieved a hell of a lot. But the best thing I think fondly about is Craig is our mateship. I can't wait for him to shout me a beer, because he's never shouted me a beer in 15 years, to share a beer and memories, not about footy, just as mates, because that's what Craig is to me. He's a mate first and a coach second.
Wow, well, what a humble hero. And here are some of his standouts. 357 games. He's on his 99th NRL try. So against the Knights, we might see if he can get to 100. 5 grand final wins, 3 premierships, a golden boot, a Clive Churchill medalist, Dally M halfback, like I mentioned, 5 and 2 Dally M medals. Gents, what is the part that you'll miss most about seeing Cooper Cronk on the footy field, Michael?
I think his teammates will miss him the most, to be honest with you. I think he hit the nail on the head today. He was brought there, obviously, to put the final pieces in that puzzle, but he's made those players alongside him better players. Latrell Mitchell, James Tedesco, Luke Keary. He may not have the highlight plays he did a few years ago, but he's been superb in developing these young guys, and they're in a position now they can go the next step without him. Jamie, the thing, when he left Melbourne, everyone was asking, will this tarnish his legacy? Do you think it's actually enhanced his legacy?
Yeah, definitely. I think he came to the Roosters with a lot of pressure on a two-year deal to get it done. And once last year they got it done, it looked like it relieved a lot of that pressure. And that's why they've played so good this year. But I'll miss watching Cooper Cronk and his astute kicking game. I think it's so hard to perform week after week, time after time, to get that kick right. And he brought that cross kick into play. And I think if guys are going out trying to copy that, then you've really left your mark on the game. And I remember at training trying to copy it when it came into the comp, and his professionalism, having played against him, I didn't have any, I think I had success one time and that was in Sydney, but having played against him, he's one of the greatest.
Yeah, for sure. Do you put him in the discussion? We can't end the topic of Cooper Cronk without bringing up the
important
discussion.
He's in the discussion. Mm-hmm. And I had to answer the same questions with Greg Inglis.
Yeah.
This whole class is going to come under great debate for a long, long time. The other halfbacks, Alfie, Sturlo, Stewart, Thurston will definitely go in, Smith will go in, Lockie will go in. Whether they come now or in the future, there'll certainly be a discussion around. His record probably puts him up there, but whether he'll go straight in, I think he'll have to wait his time, which he won't mind, but he'll definitely be in the conversation.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, Trent Robinson, his Sydney Roosters coach, weighed in on that discussion this morning.
I believe he is, and I believe some of the things about we play a team sport. What's your role as a player in a team sport? Has anybody embodied that more than Cooper Cronk?
Well, Sydney Roosters coach Trent Robinson there. It does start an interesting debate and whether or not Cooper Cronk comes into that immortal topic. To talk more about that, we are joined by current NRL immortal himself, Mal Meninga. Thanks for joining us from the Gold Coast.
It's okay, Katie. Nice to be here.
Now, big news. Cooper Cronk did announce his retirement at the end of the season. What's your thoughts on that? Does it come as a surprise to you?
Not a surprise. It's sad news when, you know, players of his ilk retire from the game. It's been such a great warrior and great ambassador for our game. I guess career's come to an end. He's obviously happy in life, what he's doing off-field as well as on-field, and I'm sure he'll make a success of his next venture in life.
And do you see him coming to that discussion as a current or as a potential immortal?
Well, I believe so. You know, you look at his record and how many games he's played, how many rep games he's played, how much success he's had through his career. He's gone from one club. He took a big gamble going from Melbourne to the Roosters and come up with a premiership, you know. So, I mean, obviously his influence on teams is enormous. That's what it's all about, you know, playing in finals, you know, reaching the heights of rugby league. So I think he should be, you know, mentioned in the same ilk as all the great players.
Mal, you had a lot to do with him over the years, obviously coached him for Australia and for Queensland. Can you talk about, because he waited a long time to get his chance, obviously coming off the bench for many years, waiting for Lockie and Thurston. What sort of person is he? Did you sort of, you know, did that typify the way he handles his business, sort of waiting for his time and the way he conducted himself?
Yeah, he wasn't an automatic halfback when he was playing as a junior. You know, he was playing lock or in the centres or out wide, places like that. So, I mean, he had to do his apprenticeship and all through his life. So he was very patient the way he treated his career. He worked very hard on his deficiencies and his strengths, you know. So he sort of manufactured seven in a way, but, you know, he's done it to the best of his ability. And, you know, he's a great role model for players in the team that he's, you know, he's worked in because, you know, just his work ethic and the way he prepared for games.
Mal, what's your favourite Cooper Cronk moment, whether it be in a game or maybe at a training session? Take us behind the curtains. What's your favourite Cooper Cronk play?
Oh, behind the scenes, Sally, when he actually had his first beer in an ice cream. He's one of those guys, as you know. One of those guys that, you know, his preparation was, you know, second to none. And see him have an ice cream one. Brought a lot of joy to the whole team.
That's gold.
Now, a lot of talk. We saw your teams that you picked for Origin over the weekend. Now, a lot of talk north of the border around captaincy. I see there you've gone with Matt Gillett as captain. Can you talk to me about that decision, why you'd go Matt Gillett over someone like a Daly Cherry Evans?
Well, I think he's in the leadership group at the Bronx anyway. It's just because Darius is there. Doesn't mean to say he's not a leader at the Broncos, but, you know, I've worked with Matty for a long period of time. He understands the Queensland and Australian systems. You know, I think he's got 80, 19 games for Queensland. I just think he's an automatic leader, you know. So, I mean, I think he'll be the next leader after Darius, there's no doubt, in the Bronx. So, you know, I just think because he plays 80 minutes as well as an edge back row. So, I mean, he's in the heat of the battle, and I think he'd do a terrific job just leading by example.
And, Mal, we did see in your Blues side that you've still got James Roberts in there despite him playing reserve grade.
Yeah, Cal, you know, I mean, I'm not quite sure what's happening behind the scenes of the Bronx, obviously, but he's a quality player, did the job last year. You know, obviously he might be going through some personal issues at the moment, but if he's back playing first grade, and, you know, Origin's, you know, is a unique beast, and, you know, he's been successful at a level, he understands it really well. It's a stick and pick a philosophy that Freddie will have, and, you know, not over-endowed with right centres in particular. So, I mean, I think he'll still fill the void there and play really well.
Mal, let's get to the Titans. Ash Taylor's copped a fair bit of criticism this week. What have you made of his season, and what does he need to improve on to be that million-dollar player? I mean, you can't just accept the salary without the criticism, especially when your side's losing.
No, I agree with that, Sal. He's working on his confidence more than more than anything else. And everyone knows he started with a few injuries at the beginning of the year and just starting to find his form. I thought his form over the last 2 to 3 weeks is gradually getting better. You know, he's been criticised for that last play in the game on the weekend. And I guess we expect more from him in that particular scenario. But the more he keeps competing, I think that's really important for him. Keeps competing, getting into the collisions, getting to the line straight and going straight to the line and getting to the line, and ability to take late tackles to create opportunities from in out wide. Especially, I think he's been really good, the last few weeks as well. He's started to put his body on the line, and he's got his shoulders in there and completing the tackles, and his kicking game is getting better per week as well. So, I mean, it's a confidence thing for him at the moment. Keep having faith in him. He's just got to keep being competitive, and the more competitive he's going to be, the more he's in the game, and the more confidence he's going to gain.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed for Titans fans, Ash can find his confidence, and maybe you can get the win at Lotto Land on Friday night against Manly. Thanks so much for joining us, Mal. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Well, Origin teams, Indigenous round, and Mitchell Pearce coming up. But first, sweet or soured moment. Now, I've had a little bit of intel. Your old teams, you having a jab? What's going on here? Panthers and Dragons?
Yeah, I have to. They've both been really disappointing. I'm sick of walking around and people asking me what's wrong with my Panthers, what's wrong with my Dragons. I haven't played the Dragons for 6 years and I haven't been at the Panthers for 3 years, but it's hard. It's hard watching. I mean, both these sides were in my top five or six teams. The Panthers just look really, really tired. They look like they're school kids in trouble at half time, and they're just not enjoying their footy. Whether that's what's going on, I have no idea, but it's hard to watch. And as for the Dragons, they just the one gripe I've got about the Dragons is this whole centre on centre, and whether Zach Lomax's confidence is copping an absolute battering, knowing that he's only going to play 55 minutes and Ewan Aitken comes on. I think they've gotten their bench wrong at times. They've really missed their leaders, and they've hinged their season on having their first strength halves in Widdup and Corey Norman. But have a look at Manly. They've got Trbojevic and DCE out and still playing better, defending, enthusiastic, and energised every week. So it's hard to see both my old teams struggling.
Maybe there's a comeback on
No.
Was that a subtle exclusive?
No, thank you.
Oh, well, hopefully they can turn things around. Let's go to Zach Bailey. I heard there's some good news, not as many player injuries this week.
Thanks, Katie. Thankfully, I don't have too much to report on the injury front this week. The worst news comes out of North Queensland, though. Ben Hampton's season could be over after scans confirm the winger ruptured his biceps against the Eels. Hampton will have surgery this Wednesday, which means he'll miss 12 to 16 weeks. And with the final round of the regular season 16 weeks away, he'll be racing the clock to play again this year. The news is a lot better for Melbourne's Christian Welsh, who thought he'd ruptured his left ACL for a second time. Scans revealed he only suffered damage to his meniscus, which means Welsh will miss 4 to 6 weeks instead of the rest of the season. The one downside of the injury, the Origin hopeful won't make his debut for the Maroons in Game 1. Siwa Taukeiaho also received positive results after he injured his groin against Brisbane. The Roosters prop has been cleared of serious injury and will be named to face the Knights on Friday. In what could be a triple boost, the tricolours are hopeful Taukeiaho will be fit to play alongside Boyd Cordner and Daniel Tupou, who missed their match against the Broncos with concussion and neck soreness, respectively. That's it from me, Katie. A short and sweet injury report is the way we like it.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. All right, now there are four on the trot. Newcastle Knights halfback Mitchell Pearce joins us. Mitch, thanks for joining Inside the NRL.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Now, congrats on that win out at Mudgee. Is it simple as, I guess, all 17 men just doing their individual roles and doing it perfectly? Is that what we're seeing in this past month?
Obviously, there's a bit more to footy than just that. But yeah, you could probably put it like that to keep it simple. I think the big thing with us is we're all competing and working really hard for each other, and that's what the foundation of our wins has been coming off. Obviously, there's some more technical stuff that we've tidied up with our attack and that type of thing. But yeah, a lot of our game's been built off the back of hard work and tough defence. And from our back five to our front rowers to our edge back rowers, everyone's playing the ball at a great speed, and we're really kicking the door in the opposition at the moment, and it's really helping our attack and the flow of our game. And I think our team's just playing really tough and physical, which is the Newcastle way, and it's working for us at the moment.
Mitchell, it seemed, at the start of the year, it seemed as though you're trying to take on, nursing Kalyn Ponga into those halves role and sort of thinking about how to get him involved. You seem a lot freer now. Is that a little bit of a result of Kalyn going back to one and letting it take its course?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's heaps of different reasons sometimes when you're struggling. There's not just one thing. I think I play my best footy when I play direct and square and running the ball and just competing on the ball, getting lots of nice touches and back-to-back plays. So I think we worked hard with the coaches when we were struggling in that period to try and find out sort of our flow again in attack. And obviously, Kalyn going to fullback's probably freed his game up. It's more natural for him back there. And then my best footy's probably come off just playing more square and more direct. There's a lot more plays off me playing at them and playing to my strengths. And I think that's sort of probably helped the flow of our team a bit better. And like I said as well, though, I think as a whole side, we've definitely taken up our focus in competing and playing the ball quick and fighting for each inch, and all that sort of stuff adds to better flow to your game.
Piercy, you had a disappointing start to the season. On Sunday, you won four in a row. What was the message from the skipper and the older guys that this is the standard now? How do you carry that on for the rest of the year? This is the team I thought we'd see.
I think, Sally, when we were struggling, when you're in teams, when you know that your team's got more ability, that it's going to turn. I always had belief it was going to turn. We're all hurting with the results, and we were hurting because we weren't reaching our potential, and we were kind of... there was probably just a little bit of confusion there for a new group, probably trying to find our identity. Probably maybe tried to overthink our footy. We're probably maybe trying to play too much footy or find different ways to get results instead of stripping it right back to what matters, and that's about playing tough week in, week out, defending well and doing all the 1% as well, and then your footy comes off the back of that. And I think we found our identity over the last month, and it's been really hard work to do that. You got to work hard, you got to make it habit. It starts with your training and the way you approach your footy and your preparation. And with a new group and a younger group within that as well, we've been working really hard to try and find our identity. And I think over the last month, we've slowly started to get some consistency around that. And it's obviously a long year, though, and we've got to keep at it.
Yeah, obviously, Mitch, you've obviously played well over the last month. What does this do for your mindset? Because everyone's talking about Origin and potential changing of the halves. Do you give yourself a shot at all?
Nah, mate. Nathan Cleary's, for me, needs to stay there. If it's not Nathan Cleary, obviously they've been talking about Adam Reynolds too, and mate, there's plenty to pick from New South Wales at the moment. My mind's purely on Newcastle. I've got plenty of goals I still want to achieve. I still feel like since I've found some form, footy feels slower at the moment in my mind, which is a good thing. I think getting a bit older, you start to see things a bit slower. But I've worked really hard to find some good form, and I'm working really hard to be the best captain I can here at Newcastle, and that's where my focus is. But as for New South Wales, I think they need to stay with Nathan Cleary purely because he won the series last year. He's obviously struggling in a team that's got plenty of players not playing well, but yeah, I think he needs to get another crack.
Mitch, it's big of you to back Nathan Cleary, and you did sort of touch on why you think he needs to stay, but why don't you back yourself, particularly with the form that you're producing right now?
I don't not back myself. I just think, it's been well publicised. I haven't had too much success in the Origin arena. Some of those games, or obviously all of it, I'll take responsibility. It's your own form, but there's different dynamics in different teams, styles of footy, all that sort of stuff goes into rep teams. For me, like I just said, I didn't have too much success there. Nathan Cleary won the series last year. He deserves another crack, especially for game one.
PC, before we let you go, obviously big news today in rugby league. Cooper Cronk deciding to call it a day at the end of the year. Now, it's a tough question to ask the bloke who was moved on for him, but I imagine looking at it now, the Roosters, they got what they paid for, didn't they?
Yeah, that's not a tough question, mate. Cooper's one of the great players, isn't he? I was just saw something before pop up on the news, and unbelievable career. I think he's got 3 grand finals on record, and then, you know, I think there was 6 that he won that obviously got taken away. But, 30-something Australian tests, all the Origin wins, and, one of the... he's obviously such a professional, and he's obviously changed that culture. He's tightened the discipline up big time at that club, and that's probably what he'd be renowned for. For me, being a competitor, if he's playing against him, something I'll always remember is his consistency, his mental strength, and his discipline.
Certainly is a fantastic career. Mitch, we timed it well. You do take the Roosters on your old side on Friday night. Good luck, and hopefully the Newcastle Knights can make it 5 in a row.
Yeah, that's the plan. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks, mate.
Talking about State of Origin, Jamie, let's take a look at your Blues State of Origin team.
Yeah, let's get into it. This is my final team. The back line for me stays the same, except for Blake Ferguson comes in on the wing. Cam Murray, I've got him starting. I think that he just takes a sting out of that. He's got the quickest play of the ball in the NRL for a forward. You bring Jake Trbojevic off. You see there the bench, Payne Haas and Cody Walker. I just don't think they can resist his form. He's been outstanding. He's come up with the big plays time and time again. He's tough enough to go in and play a bit of hooker. You can move some people around. So,
I think that's interesting that you've managed to fit Cody Walker in. I also find it interesting that you think Jake would be better off coming off the bench.
I just think Jake, he could easily start. But for me, Jake Trbojevic could be a real X factor.
Yeah.
Come towards the back end of that first half, later when those forwards get tired, he can just pair up with Tedesco and tear him apart with Cook.
Yeah, interesting.
You pick James Roberts even if he doesn't play in our role this
year? Yep.
Regardless if he plays park footy or not?
Regardless.
Okay.
Can I just say, after losing so many series and being part of that, we've won 2 series in the last however many years. This team that won last year will be there this year. Nathan Cleary will be there. James Roberts will be there. We don't need to throw everything out. We won the series with that team regardless of what their form is now. Yes, they were in better form last year when they came into the series. But they came together as a team. Brad Fittler, Danny Bedeiros, Greg Alexander, they all know what they bring to the team, the environment, how they are. So I don't see the need for mass changes with our squad.
Michael, take us through your team.
Yeah, look, I don't have James Roberts in there only because I don't think he's played enough quality footy this year. I've gone with Josh Morris. The game's won or lost on that edge this series. Obviously, with Caelan Ponga and Cameron Munster defending playing down the left, our right side defence by our New South Wales defence is going to be pivotal. I think Josh Morris, he's the best. Him and Matt Cooper are the best defensive centres we've seen over the last 15 years. So I think Josh Morris does that job, and we attack down the other side with Latrell Mitchell and Josh Addo-Carr on the left side there. I've gone with Nathan Cleary. I think you can't burn the kid. He did the job last year. You stick with him. And I've gone, the one thing I wasn't sure of, everyone's talking about Payne Haas. I've got him in my team, but, geez, it's a reflection of how bad our big men are going if Payne Haas is getting the start after 9 NRL appearances.
The misconception we've had is we try and defend our ways to victory. You've got to score more points than the other team. Gone are the days where it's going to be 4-2. You've got to be able to have strike power. You've got to have guys that have that X factor. James Roberts did the job last year for the New South Wales Blues, regardless of where he is at the moment.
You talk about both staying loyal, but neither of you have James Maloney.
Well, James Maloney's in the last year of his contract, and I don't think you'll be able to have both. You look at the top of tri-assist people, you've got Damien Cook, James Tedesco, and then you have Luke Keary.
Mm.
So your attack's taken care of. I just don't think New South Wales now will realise that Luke Keary was in around the squad last year. He'll be in the team this year with Nathan Cleary. That's the future pairing. Cody Walker hot on the heels.
Yeah. I guess the only argument is that how Freddie has stayed loyal. And would he stay loyal to it?
Well, I just think James Maloney's age counts against...
Good
counts against him. Plus, the talk about whether he's going to be here next year.
Yeah.
You know, do they just pull the trigger now and have Keary, who's been in good form for nearly 18 months? So, see what happens.
One thing Freddie's always said, I don't want distractions in my camp. Now, James Roberts gets picked. There are all sorts of distractions in his camp. It's about where does your future belong? Are you staying at the Broncos? Are you happy under Siebes? Do you want to play first grade? That doesn't go away. James Roberts on talent should be the first centre picked on that right side. But it's not about talent, and Freddie's made that clear last year.
Well, we'll find out on Sunday when the Blues announce their side. Let's get to your Maroons team, please, Michael Chamis.
Yeah, look, I've gone a couple of changes from the one I named a few weeks ago. I think the back line speaks for itself. Cherry Evans comes back in if he's fit there. For me on the bench, I think they need a utility. I think Moses Mbai probably offers a little bit more than some of the others. I know Sal, we've seen. I think you've gone with Anthony Milford there. I think Mbai can cover a few more positions. I don't think there's... there's a few that have been left out. Carlton Hess doesn't deserve to earn his spot there given the way he started the year for the Cowboys. But it's pretty... I think the main talking point there is probably the hooker. I think Ben Hunt, although he's been playing at seven, he's the most creative player. And to your point earlier, you need to score points to win games. I think Ben Hunt does that for the Queensland side.
Yeah, I agree. I've got him in a different spot, though. I've got him coming off the bench. I think Josh Maguire, that opening 20 minutes, will take the sting out of what New South Wales are trying to throw at them, and then Ben Hunt will come off the bench and play the next 55 or 60 minutes. So I went with Dylan Napa up front. I think the back row of Kaufusi, Gillette and Arrow speaks for itself. And the young bench, you've got Offhand Galloway and Fifita. Jared Wallace, they'll need a front row who's been there before. Backline speaks for itself. Anthony Milford's been close, but I don't think he's been in good enough form all year to be able to push his way into that utility spot.
Interestingly, Mal picked Matt Gillett as his captain. Who do you both have as your skipper?
Yeah, I think so. I think Matt Gillett deserves it. He's been there a long time.
If DCE is not fit, I'd Cam Munster.
Why?
Because. No, I just think that under the leadership of Cameron Smith, this last sort of 18 months, not having Cooper there last year, I think he learned a lot about himself, and he started the year like that. You can see the way he does interviews and stuff now. I think he's really matured over the last 6 months in that pre-season role, knowing that he has to step up again with no Billy Slater. So I think maybe left field, if DCE is not fit, maybe Munster.
Okay, yeah, I don't mind it. Obviously, the Queensland side will be named on Monday morning and the Blues side on Sunday. So make sure you stay across NRL.com because we will have the latest when it's breaking. Now, to Indigenous round, and we've got a few jerseys. Let's show. I've got South's jerseys. So this has got actually six of the different players and six different Indigenous cultures. I'll just put that up on screen. How good. I love that. Tell me a bit about, you've got Manly.
Oh, this is, look, I would never ever buy another jersey unless the team I was supporting. But I tell you what, can we zoom in on that? Because it's one of my favourite all-time players, Cliffy Lyons, a great Yuka player, but also a legend bloke. I just love the fact that Manly have done that. Very creative. Well done.
And what about you, Michael?
Got the West Tigers jersey, yeah. It's obviously, mate, it's great to see the NRL getting behind in the industry. Yeah. Obviously, most teams in the NRL redesigning their jerseys with special logos, so the West Tigers, one of many teams to do so.
There's been some fantastic designs. Can't wait to see them out all on the field this weekend. For you, Jamie, you're an Indigenous former player. What does it mean to you to make sure that the NRL still implement this and show how important it is to our culture?
Well, I think it's important not only in recent times with the Indigenous All-Stars game and the Māori game, but the amount of Indigenous players that are going back into their community to be able to give something back. I think of Joel Thompson, one of the most charitable guys, and what he's done for his community going back, Greg Inglis, Jonathan Thurston in retirement. So for those guys to go back, they're really bringing the next generation of Indigenous players through to be able to show them that, yes, while rugby league is important, that giving back to your area and giving back to your people as well is also important. And the kids love it. Mm. You go out into these remote communities and we're trying to do more with, you know, the Queensland have the deadly experience and we're trying to get, you know, stuff like that going for New South Wales through the rugby league. Excellent centre there. So I just love the fact that we do Indigenous round. I love celebrating the Indigenous players in the game.
Yeah, and it's a great way to keep the Indigenous culture alive through the NRL. Shout out to Sam, our graphics man, who did these beautiful designs behind us as well. But let's get to hit or miss, gents. Question one, Storm have found Billy Slater replacement in Ryan Papenhuyzen. Hit or miss?
Hit. Oh, yeah. I think he's been outstanding. Jerome Hughes got the spot there and he's a bit more of a ball player, but there's no substitute for speed. Papenhuyzen's just been absolutely dynamite the last couple of weeks. Been lucky enough to call a couple of his games and every time he touches the ball, there's players that come into the game that you just think something's going to happen. And every time he gets it, there's something's going to happen.
Well, I agree. I think you need to find it. You know, I think he's their best fullback. But that the problem for the Storm is that the Jerome Hughes has been outstanding at the start of the year. I think he starts to put pressure on Brody Coff because you can't leave Jerome Hughes out, can you, Jamie?
Well, Papenhuyzen came off the bench. So Craig Bellamy goes back to Jerome Hughes and says, we're going to have you in the team. You pick your best 17. You're going to have to earn your way back in terms of where you play. And Brody Coff's been okay.
Mm. Question two. The Broncos are back in business for the top eight. Hit or miss, Michael?
Miss. I want to see this week. This is a big game for them. They come away this week. They go three in a row. I think then we start talking a fair income top eight team. I like what I saw from them against the Roosters team. Depleted, but still a strong Roosters team. I think this week will show you what the Broncos are made of.
Jamie?
Yeah, hit. I've been waiting for one of these teams that we picked to make a run, and that man on screen has been probably their best player. James Seguiaro adds a different dynamic to this team. You have Turpin who can go on there and bash and barge, and then Chico comes on and just takes off from dummy half. So I think they found their balance on the weekend. Yes, I would like to see more of it, but I think they're back. I think they go on a run.
All right. Question three. The Dragons went too early on signing coach Paul McGregor. Hit or miss, Michael?
I say it's a tough one because you can argue with it. I'm going to say miss for now. I think the Dragons, I can understand their intentions. They wanted to get this out of the way because we know what it's like. When the coach is off contract, it becomes a circus. We saw Clint Gutherson with a player. We saw Brad Arthur. The longer you leave it, it becomes a circus. Now, they hope to avoid that circus, but unfortunately, we have another circus starting to brew here because they aren't playing well. They're missing some key players. But, mate, look at Manly. They're missing some key players as well, Trbojevic and Daly Cherry-Evans, and they're playing with a team that shows a lot of effort. Now, the same can't be said about the Dragons.
Michael? Jamie?
I love Mary as a coach, and I had him when I spent some time at the Cutters, and I think you just go into dangerous waters when you sign coaches early on in the season, and it's not picking on anyone. I just think that you need to wait and get a result, and off the back of what they did last year, they're expected to be a top four side, top five side. They haven't delivered on that. I think he's gotten the bench wrong at times this year by carrying Ewan Aitken. I think you just need to say goodbye to one and make them earn their way back in. And they haven't been able to produce the footy they did last year. They look tired. They look similar to the Panthers, as I said before. Plus, when you look at Manly, they're losing Trbojevic and DCE.
And still, six other players.
Yeah, and still competing and energy and everything's up for them. They just play. They go out there and play. Whoever's in the jumper, St George is just waiting for someone else to do it.
One thing I have to say, one thing I have to say about coaching situations, and this could relate to Mary, I'm not sure, but a lot of the coaches, when they re-sign now, their termination clauses aren't paying out for their whole term. Now, if you re-sign and you aren't going well, then the club's having their favour to move you on. And I'm not saying that's the case with Mary, but I think that the clubs have realised that's the best way to do business. Give the coach some reassurance, but also protect the club as well.
As a Dragons fan, are you disappointed with what's gone on this year?
I genuinely thought they were a chance to win the Premiership this year.
There you go.
Gareth Widdop's injury doesn't help their cause, but they are still a team capable of top four.
I don't think you can use injuries as an excuse.
Well, you can't when you look at Manly, but that's where I'm headed with the next question. Des Hasler is coach of the year after 10 rounds, hit or miss?
Yes, hit. Absolutely outstanding job, what he's been able to do. Watched him firsthand yesterday at Shark Park and what they were able to just turn up, compete. Cade Cust comes into the side and, yeah, he was steady to start with, but by the end of it, it looked like he'd been playing with the team for 2 years. So Kane Elgee, I've been critical of Kane Elgee. At times, he's looked like not a first grader. When he's come down to Manly, he's simplified his game, he's running, he's tackling, and Adam Fanua Blake and Marty Tapau are probably up there with the form front row pair in the competition. They're getting the best out of everyone. It's almost like a Craig Bellamy job. He just gets these guys, these fringe guys, they come, they play, and they compete, and they win games.
Michael?
Yeah, I agree, hit. I think he's done tremendously well with that team. And a lot of people were saying that Des Hasler was gone. He may not coach again, given what happened at Canterbury and the way it unfolded. But it's a perfect marriage, him and Manly. They've got things rocking at the moment at Manly. So, I think he's...
Perfect marriage.
But we're all confused. Put the Manly back in Manly. We need Des. I had no idea what that meant. But somehow they've got Manly back in Manly.
Now we know.
Someone tweet me or something. I had no idea what that meant, but he's doing it.
We're seeing it right in front of our faces. All right, that's it for Hit or Miss. Now for Champ or Chump. And we've only got one today, but it's a pretty good one. Jared Wallace eating dog food. Let's check it out.
This is... Just win a flipping footy game. Yep. Oh, he's put a big chew in her mouth. No. Chew it up. Chew it up.
She's
really trying to eat it.
I can't watch that.
Sorry, that makes me feel sick.
Katie, you brought that to our attention. So Jared Wallace obviously is a chump. You're the chump for bringing it to our attention. And the other thing, why has he got his shirt off? He's in great shape, but to be eating dog food is disgusting. So I'm off the both of yous. It was ordinary form from the both of yous.
Okay, so chump? I don't know,
of course, both of yous are. You and Jared Wallace.
No, I'm not in that video. I'm not part of it.
You are.
Michael,
double chump. Any time we get to sledge you, I agree as well.
You can't sledge the host, gents. All right. Power rankings. Jamie, what have you got for us?
Yeah, power rankings came out today. Rabbitohs moved up the top spot. The big mover, probably the Newcastle Knights back in the six. Dragons down the bottom with the Titans and Panthers. And Manly, first time in a couple of years since been doing it, they've climbed in the top four.
Oh, top four?
They're fourth, yep.
Okay. Cheer nice and loud, Manly fans. Now, Michael, play a poll.
Yeah, the 2019 NRL.com player poll. We did it last year. Very popular with the fans. We've got with the fans. 150 players from all 16 NRL clubs have taken part in this. So on Thursday, we will release the results from that poll. So join NRL.com on Thursday.
Give us the one question that was...
Yeah, teaser.
Oh, look.
Give us a little tease.
The best player in the game has been a bit of a topic of discussion in recent months. So we'll have the best player in the game. Some interesting issues as well, whether players want a transfer window or not. A lot of talk about players moving on. So,
was there any seven tackle set?
Oh, we got rid of that because of you, mate.
Oh, it's always good to have you, Jen. So we'll be back again next Monday at the same time, 4 p.m. Until then, though, tomorrow, Zach Bailey will have NRL teams at 3:55 with Brett Camorley and Jeff Tuvey. Until then, have a good one.